apply today.
He was set to do a 50-show concert gig in London. You know, and I think somebody even had a ticket for me. Who knows how much money he would have bagged on that one. The king of pop, Michael Jackson, maybe $400 million. Imagine the merchandise sales now in his death since Thursday of a cardiac arrest. Lots of questions, a lot of intrigue over Michael Jackson, and everybody is talking about it. Hey, everybody, hope you had a fabulous weekend. Kate Delaney, America Tonight. Sorry about the circumstances, but thrilled to welcome to our show Joel Denver, president and publisher of AllAccess.com. Joel, thanks for hopping on the air with us. We appreciate it.
Thank you so much. How are you this evening?
I'm great. And, you know, you've been watching this, certainly. I mean, it's crazy. Everywhere you turn, everybody's talking about him. I said, Joel, and I just said it out loud, I wonder if you were to compare what's now happened with Michael Jackson. And this isn't a music person, but remember the outpouring for Princess Di? I think it's surpassing that.
Well, I think it's, you know, Michael touched people in a lot of different ways that Di did, and in many similar ways that Di did. He was a very charitable person. He had worldwide influence. He traveled the globe. He performed for a lot of people. You know, Princess Di traveled the globe. She appeared for a lot of people. But, you know, Michael, I mean, his history, stems back some 30, 40 years now. And he was a young boy when he first came onto the music scene with the Jackson 5 and in the late 60s, early 70s, and it was like it was a breath of fresh air, and his star continued to shine even as a solo artist, as we know.
Yeah. Joel, there's no doubt with your, storied career, I'll say, all over the map, certainly on the air, program director, you have massive music ins, absolutely. And you had meetings with Michael Jackson during your career. So that puts you in a whole different category than most people who just want a glimpse, want to touch, want to feel something about him. What was it like? What were those meetings like? What do you remember, I guess, the most out of them?
Well, the best part about Michael was the fact that, you know, you would hope that he would be a gentleman. He would hope that he would be a nice person, warm and engaging. And he was all of that and more. It was quite a thrill to it, you know, to get to chat with him and to exchange a couple of ideas and a couple of viewpoints. And, you know, it wasn't a long meeting. It was at the publisher's office at the publication I worked for at the time, Radio and Records newspaper. And there was about 15 of us in the publisher's office that got a chance to spend a few minutes each with Michael. And it was probably one of the highlights of my life to be able to talk to such an amazing person.
Yeah. Hey, you know, Joel, when you're in the business, everybody, and I know this from even my sports side of my career, everybody takes pictures with everyone. Did you take a picture with Michael?
You know, I do have a picture, and I certainly wish I could lay my hands on it. I've got pictures of me with John Lennon and Paul McCartney and a lot of other people, and I really went around the house this weekend looking for it, going like, it's somewhere here, and I'm really bummed that I can't lay my hands on it immediately.
You're going to have to open up some of those boxes, Joel.
That's right. That garage is big, and there's a lot of boxes.
Hey, Michael Jackson's impact on the music industry, everybody's doing stories on this, and they're trying to put their thumb on it. And I was thinking the other day when it happened, you know, who do you even compare him to? Elvis Presley in
Elvis Presley in his own way, Prince in his own way. I mean, there's a lot of terrific. I mean, Frank Sinatra in his own way. You know, it's kind of interesting because Michael Jackson is a generational artist. There's 30, 40 years of people that have grown to love him and have adopted his music and loved his music. I mean, you know, when he came onto the scene with as a solo artist, he changed society. He made some huge changes. His choreography and technical know-how and skill and in the production of all those great videos, Billie Jean and such, that, you know, really came at the right time for MTV, and MTV came at the right time for him. They both were symbiotic in helping each other tremendously.
Yeah, no kidding. Thriller, I mean, everybody's talking about that, and you're hearing it all over the radio. It's played nonstop, of course, now, but it always was played a ton. The success of that, just how do you measure that success of Thriller?
Well, Thriller is the all-time worldwide leading album. It's rumored that a lot of the early sales weren't tracked by SoundScan, so we don't know some of the early numbers, but we know that it shipped 28 million copies, which according to the RIAA is a double diamond ship. And one of the things that they estimate it's 109 million albums plus. And of course, with his untimely death, all the stores were emptied across America of any remaining Michael Jackson albums, and I'm sure that the labels are Epic Records and such are working overtime to replenish that supply, because there's going to be a tremendous demand for a long time. In fact, at iTunes, 8 of the top 10 songs this weekend were Michael Jackson songs.
Yeah, no kidding. Crazy. Hey, in looking at Michael Jackson, and you've said it, you think 30, 40 years, you think how long this guy spanned the music industry. What was it that made him so fascinating to us? Was it the fact that he could transform himself and all the different music and that kind of stuff? Was there something else? Was it some of the kind of, let's say, eccentric things, obviously, later in his life? What was it about him?
I think, he just, his raw talent was just unbelievable. He cooked up the moonwalk. I mean, he'd done, he'd just done some amazing things musically. And then, of course, there was the oddities to him as the person. I mean, he was really two types of people, the outward Michael Jackson and the inside Michael Jackson. And there were two different people. The inside Michael Jackson was obviously tormented and obviously had his problems. And the outside Michael Jackson was the consummate performer and entertainer. And I think there was, his legal issues, that dealt with his finances, and of course the other legal issues dealing with the allegations of improper behavior with young children, which he was never convicted of.
Right.
These are things that kept him in the limelight. I mean, that Pepsi thing back in like 1984, I believe it was, when he was filming this special for Pepsi and his hair caught fire. I mean, when that happened, he gave like $1.5 million to a hospital to form the Michael Jackson Burn Institute. They saved his scalp. They saved his ability to go on and continue to perform. And I think he was, an incredibly generous person.
Yeah, no kidding. Do you think we'll ever see anyone star rise as big as, I know there's talented people in the music business, but will we ever see anyone again as big as Michael Jackson?
Well, it's kind of hard to say that anybody can ever be or won't be as big as so-and-so. Michael Jackson's persona and his career, mushroomed over a series of years. And like you say, it's 30, 40 years of history here. And, who knows who is out there today that we're just starting to hear on the radio? Could it be Rihanna? Could it be Mariah Carey? Could it be anybody that's out there right now? Could they end up being as big as Michael Jackson one day? You never know. And that's the wonders of society and the product of an entertainer's music. It takes a huge consensus to make a star as big as Michael Jackson. It takes a consensus of opinion, a consensus of love of the music, and a consensus of that this person really represents something that I feel within themselves, that they go out and they buy the music. Buying music is not just something to own. Buying music is an emotional thing. People buy music because they have an emotional attachment to the songs. And Michael Jackson was obviously one of the best ever at creating that emotional attachment.
Boy, no kidding. What a good note to end on. Joel, we know you're a busy guy. We appreciate the time. Joel Denver, president and publisher of AllAccess.com. Joel, thanks.
Thank you very much. Have a great evening.
You too. All right, so now the question is, what about the merchandise? You think of what, like Elvis Presley last year, 52 million, and years before, so much money. Charles Schulz, the creator of the Peanuts, his estate, $33 million in 2008. And I think Michael Jackson surpasses that maybe by the end of the year. Hang with us, more to come.
Studies have shown that many people do not get the proper vitamins and minerals necessary to maintain good health. With so many places to choose from, deciding where and what to buy can be a lengthy, frustrating process. The answer is simple. PureBulk.com. PureBulk.com has over 150 bulk wholesale nutritional products in stock, including vitamins, super antioxidants, amino acids, and herbal extracts. PureBulk.com's products contain no fillers, no additives, no fancy retail packaging, and no minimum purchase, allowing you to save 50 to 90% over store-bought supplements. PureBulk.com carries atomic iodine, red wine extract, ginkgo biloba, oil of oregano, natural coffee caffeine, L-arginine, resveratrol, hyaluronic acid, creatine, curcumin, pine bark extract, grape seed extract, and more. For prices, additional products, and more information, visit purebulk.com. That's purebulk.com. Or call 406-251-3270. That's 406-251-3270 today.
Hi, I'm John Swenson at Midas Resources, 800-686-2237, extension 128, and let's take in a brief mind movie. We're surrounded by jesters, members of the nation's largest clown club based in Washington, D.C., fuzzy hair, baggy pants, big yellow shoes, and now offering financial assurances that all will be well. The stimulus package is working. A bailout is coming your way. And while we're flat broke, we're also told that we've stepped back away from the brink. Pardon me? Back to the real world. We know that we can rely on no one but ourselves to generate financial security. Protecting your assets is solely up to you. No one else is coming to the rescue. Please call me, John Swenson, 800-686-2237, extension 128, to discuss investing in precious metals, gold and silver, with a 6,000-year track record of success and security. I'm John Swenson, 800-686-2237, extension 128, and together we'll create a package that really works for you.
The phone rings and the questions are asked. I've been so sick. Will the Life Change Tea help me? Our answer is always the same. Yes, toxins and chemicals from food, water, and air are attacking you this very moment. Fight back with our all-natural detoxifying tea that works immediately. Many companies use gimmicks and misleading free trials for their campaign. We use results. Life Change Tea's formula, created by a PhD, has been around for over 20 years. There are things happening in the world that are unseen and not healthy. The public has reached its all-time record for chronic sickness. This atrocity won't change unless you call us right now. Our number is 928-308-0408. Again, that's 928-308-0408. Or you can order online at getthetea.com. That's getthetea.com. And remember, we have the cheapest shipping in the industry.
Later on the show, the latest on Iran and the protests in the streets. They started again, and some of the footage is leaking out. Also, Transformers, despite what technical man Matt thought and what I thought, not that we didn't think it would do good at the box office, but we can't believe what it did at the box office. I'll tell you about that. And on the more important side, too, three Supreme Court cases up for grabs, including the fireman's case. We'll dive into that a little bit later on the show. We've been talking about health care a ton, though, and what's going to happen. Of course, there's a lot of lobbying for Obama's plan. He's had lots of people on the Hill to talk about it. And one of the things that's being considered is this public option combined with the private insurers. And you know how I feel about that. We've been talking about it for a long time now, for at least the past month or so. So joining us on the show to give a little more insight into something pretty specific that we've talked about, like Medicare and Medicaid, is Mark McKenzie. He's an expert in this, certainly. He's the CEO of Senior Care Centers. It's a group of health and rehab facilities in North Texas. I know there are a lot of people listening to us all over Texas and certainly on our great affiliate KVCE in Dallas, Texas, 1160 AM. And, of course, we're coast to coast and everywhere in between, so everybody can, I believe, relate to this. I've gotten a lot of emails on it. Mark, thanks for jumping on the show. We appreciate it.
Yes, ma'am.
If this whole thing ends up, and something's going to happen with healthcare, I mean, I'm not sure what. We're seeing all the debates starting in Washington, D.C. But what people want to know is kind of what's being proposed out there. What would that do to Medicare and Medicaid? I know that's a broad question, but what would it do?
I think it would have definitely negative impact on both payer sources in it. Because if you listen to what the president is talking about, he looks to fund his new healthcare plan through the reductions of through Medicare and Medicaid savings, which is really a reduction of the payment terms to all providers, whether it be skilled nursing facilities, physicians, Medicare, Part D drug providers. And so if you take that on out through the system, you can only assume that with a reduction in payment will be a reduction in opportunities to receive services if you have that funding mechanism where you participate within the Medicare Medicaid program. And as it pertains for the seniors that we care for in our facilities, that would be, they are generally the most acutely ill of the patients needing the more significant complex medical services. And so it is going to put it's not going to change their need. It is certainly going to change the need for how we approach and deliver care in that environment. And frankly, it puts us at an already stretched budget trying to address issues to make sure that we meet those needs. I think the challenging piece to that is that the president has yet to really come out on point as it pertains to those programs, how it will fold in on the overall plan, other than he wants to follow, if you look at what he talked about in his May 7th comments on how he was going to fund this, it truly is through the reduction of Medicare and Medicaid, and then through additional revenues, which one can only assume to be taxes based on the conversations as you listen to both the Senate and the Congress.
All right, so somebody in your shoes, obviously you don't want to see this. Certainly that's part of the some of your facilities and what you're counting on, and also the people themselves. So what do you do? Are there people? I know there are people lobbying on the other side of this saying, whoa, wait a second, what are you doing with Medicaid, Medicare, all that sort of stuff? What's your take on that? What's the answer to try to brush this back and say we need some specifics before you go slashing this off?
Well, I think that's just it. We continue to push for specifics and to really drill out what does this mean as it pertains to the seniors. Because when they talk about the non-covered patient or the non-covered individual, they talk about those under 65. They never really do address a lot as it pertains to those over 65 because it is a Medicare, Medicaid issue. So we have been kind of left on the sideline, one, because there's not a lot of commentary out there. We are pushing and lobbying against it, and as we speak today, you know, our only hope as we move forward is that at some point there's some sense of rationality enters into the system, and then I guess if you take it to the end result, one would hope that public policy on coming out on services not representing or being strong to the senior clientele is traditionally not a politically advantageous approach.
No.
And I'm hoping that will kind of tap the brakes so that it forces some true dialogue on both sides. Because as you let off, obviously it's a big spend for our government, and we have to come up with alternative opportunities and alternative formats and to paying for the service and to seeing that services are covered for those that need it.
Yeah, and obviously, Mark, too, I mean, people have, there's a big chunk of the population that's aging. So even though people listening, like I have a lot of young people that listen to the show, this spans all age ranges, whether they're in their 20s, 30s, 40s, 50s, 60s, people listening to the show or beyond. Some of them would obviously have some concerns about this because they have parents, for number one, or grandparents that are aging that are going to be in an awful position, right?
Correct. Or they will be looked to fund the shortfall.
Yes.
Those individuals, too, will become politically, well, yeah, I don't want to say politically motivated. I would rather them become just educated on the overall system and hope and help us get the facts out so we can make an informed decision as public.
Yeah, boy, no kidding. Are people asking in your care centers? Because, you know, older people have a lot of time. They're watching a lot of Tube, and they're hearing about this because this has been heavy conversation. They're watching Fox News Channel or whatever. Do you have a lot of seniors asking about it? They have to be concerned.
Absolutely. But really, the component that is asking more are their sons, daughters, or grandchildren, because they have put it together and realized that for every dollar reduced within the system, it doesn't necessarily change the overall cost. It just changes who has to fund that cost. And as we have learned over the past, that often reverts back to the consumer themselves in what is allowed to be charged and then passed on if they're on these services. And so at a certain point, I'm sure that they are quite concerned that it drops either to their grandparents that are there in the facility or onto them as it pertains to them as a caregiver in an alternative environment.
Yeah, boy, no kidding. All right, Mark, we'll see what happens with this proposed legislation, because it, right now the way it stands, like we were just talking about, major cutbacks probably in funding for senior care facilities. There's no question about that. So I have my fingers crossed, because I know a lot of people are very worried, and I think it's just awful sometimes the way that we treat older people. So I don't want to see a bunch of older people be frightened and worried about what are they going to do, and then their families can't afford it and all that sort of stuff. So we appreciate your time.
Thank you so much. I appreciate the opportunity to come on.
Oh, you're welcome. All right, and so as I mentioned, you know, we'll be talking about this a little bit more, but I've already talked about this somewhat, the fact that we know when you've got nursing home facilities or you have, like I have my grandfather who's going to be 93. He's in assisted living, and thank goodness everything's fine and there's pensions, and, of course, my family would obviously help out. We're all in that same situation. But he's worried about it. He's a smart guy. He's watching the news, and he doesn't want to be a burden to anybody. What happens if I have to go into a nursing home, all that sort of stuff? So I can relate to this. And you're talking about, serious, serious slashes in funding that are being proposed. And already we know the public option and the private option combined. I'm worried about that anyway, and I said this before. You got this cost now, and who's paying for it? I mean, that's the thing everybody keeps saying. Where is the money coming from? The cost is like $1.6 trillion, right? $1.6 trillion. So, fine, show me the plan, show me the funding, show me how you don't lop off what's going toward seniors who families desperately need it, or the seniors themselves, because what are we going to do about the aging population? We know people are strapped beyond belief, because where's the middle class going, right? So there are a lot of problems, I think, with some of the stuff that's being proposed in the broad strokes. We need specific knowledge on this, specific pinpoint. Tell me what goes into Medicaid or Medicare, or is it out? What happens? How are you melding the public and the private together, right? And it's been a hard sell for Obama so far, and we know that he's a pretty good talker and a pretty good persuader. So I think that this is going to get tossed around a ton. We have Odds and Ends coming up next on America Tonight.
Heart-related health problems affect millions of people each year. Maybe you're one of the many who suffer from issues related to angina pain, high blood pressure, congestive heart failure, unbalanced cholesterol, irregular heartbeat, or clogged arteries. There is a solution that doesn't involve expensive prescription drugs that only mask the problem and leave you with horrible side effects. Doctors who have tried Heart and Body Extract with their patients are thrilled with the results as well. Here's what Dr. Goodman has to say about his experience with the product.
If you notice that most times there are these drug ads on TV, they have a list of possible side effects. I find that if you're going to take something that is, you're trading one problem for five or six other problems, that to me doesn't make sense. Using something that is natural, that is absorbed into the body, particularly because it's in a liquid form, I think is the best way to go.
Call to order your 2-month supply of Heart and Body Extract today. Call 1-866-295-5305 or go to hbextract.com.
You're listening to GCN, the Genesis Communication Radio Network.
Most Americans know the significance of July 4th, 1776. However, few know the importance of September 17th, 1787, the day the Constitution was written and adopted by our founders. Unfortunately, over 200 years later, this sacred document is under attack, along with our beloved Republic. Throughout the span of history, brave men and women have rallied behind banners which have served as symbols of liberty against the forces of tyranny. Today, we have the Constitution Pride Flag to show our support for the Constitution, the Bill of Rights, freedom, liberty, and justice for we the people of the United States. Now available at www.1787flags.com. Get your very own Constitution Pride Flag today and receive a free pocket Constitution with your order. www.1787flags.com, the official website of the Constitution Pride Flag. That's www.1787flags.com.
Economy have you down?
Scared you might lose your job?
Worry how you will provide for your family?
Do you worry where your money will come from?
You know that the economy is getting worse, but there is hope.
Robert Beadle's new book, Here's What You Do, tells you what to do and how to do it. Even a 10-year-old can figure it out after reading this 72-page book. And the best part? This book is priced under $10. Don't be the victim, be a victor. Go to hereswhatyoudo.net. That's hereswhatyoudo.net. Again, hereswhatyoudo.net.
About your retirement portfolio? Is your financial advisor experienced enough to combat rising interest rates, taxes, and inflation? Stop guessing and go to the expert, Robert Chapman of the International Forecaster. With 45 years of experience and concise investment recommendations, who needs sugar-coated excuses? Get the cold hard facts and a proven investment strategy. For a free introductory copy to the International Forecaster, call 877-479-8178 or go to theinternationalforecaster.com. That's 877-479-8178. 877-479-8178.
Silver is mankind's oldest natural antibiotic. This very special mineral has been used for centuries by most cultures throughout the world. Utopia, Texas is home to a small but mighty supplement company called Utopia Silver, who offers colloidal products produced in distilled water without use of animal protein, nitrates, or saline solutions. Because our colloidal silver is made up of nano-sized particles, it can be better utilized at the cellular level, and germs can't mutate to be resistant like they can to modern-day antibiotics. Utopia Silver has a broad range of health supplements, including colloidal silver, gold, and copper, with a money-back guarantee on the colloidal products we produce. For 4 years, Utopia Silver has been fighting in the Texas courts against agencies that would steal our God-given rights of health care and freedom of speech. Visit us today at utopiasilver.com. That's UTOPIA silver.com, or call 888-213-4338, 888-213-4338, and help us win this battle.
Coming up this week on America Tonight, a couple of programming notes. We're going to talk about some cheap vacations that you can take. I mean, there is a ton of cheap vacations, great deals to be had because of the economy, of course. And if you have just a little bit of money, it doesn't have to be a giant stack of cash, you can probably get away. So we'll explain that. And also, we're going to talk more about the legislation that just passed, of course, in the House and what will happen in Congress, you know, the whole climate deal. And there's been a massive push by the president to have the Senate push this through. But I'm not so sure anything happens with the Senate anyway until the fall. If you do not like what is in the climate bill, absolutely email, call. Send a note to your senator or congressman. If you don't know who they are, flip me an email at americatonight.net. If you like it, well, then all bets are off. Then you can push in the opposite direction, I guess. I've already talked about this and talking about what's going to happen for just the regular folks. You just can expect to pay more for electricity, for heat, for all that sort of stuff. If it becomes a law in the Senate, I think it might be tough. It might not go through. It barely went through in the House. And it is a pretty difficult piece of legislation to wrap your head around all the details of it. Basically, it would require the U.S. to reduce carbon dioxide and other greenhouse gas emissions. This is just broad strokes, folks, by 17% from 2005 levels by 2020, and 83%, I guess, by mid-century, that would be. But for some industries, and this is the other part of this equation. Okay, so you definitely will pay more for electricity and all that other sort of stuff I mentioned. Absolutely. But the thing that probably will happen with some of the industries is they're going to move out of the United States and move over to countries that don't have greenhouse gas emissions. Think of all those industries where they're just burning whatever and they're not paying anything and there aren't any so there's no taxation or levels or requirements foisted on them. I think you'll see businesses move, a lot of businesses that will move. But it's going to be pretty tough in the Senate, too. I don't think this is going to be just a quick in and out with the Senate. Absolutely not. I mean, even Majority Leader Harry Reid wants it to happen by the fall, wants to take it up by the fall. So there's going to be more time on this climate bill. Man, with it so close in the House, we'll see. We'll see ultimately what happens with that. So you got that going on. You have the health care thing going on. There's a bunch of interesting pieces of legislation that's being tackled in D.C. that we've been talking about on the show that we'll talk about more later this week. And we have various guests coming on to dissect some of it for us, too. Hey, one of my favorite things to do on this show is to do news you can abuse. It means really things that don't add up or crazy, silly things or silly criminals or just things that flat out make you just say, what were they thinking? So let's start in Salt Lake City. Here's the deal. The people at the Bureau of Land Management in the West Desert in Utah are worried that some people might want to use their old TV sets for target practice. With the switch to digital TVs, guess what? There are plenty of TVs collecting dust. So the BLM is warning that electronic devices like TVs, computer monitors, and even cell phones are potentially toxic elements. If they're not disposed of the right way, it could be a threat to the environment. And actually, they say it can cost up to $7,000 to clean up a shot-up TV set. Well, that seems ridiculous. $7,000 to clean it up? I think I know someone that could do it a little bit cheaper. Sacramento, they're talking about cool cars that are heading to California. This has to do with the climate thing, right? California clean air regulators are ordering that all new cars have sun-reflecting gas. The idea is to keep the cars cooler on hot days. So the California Air Resources Board voted unanimously yesterday for the new regulations, meaning sun-reflecting glass is required on all cars, pickups, and SUVs by 2014. So that's brutal. If somebody's hanging onto a car, you know, they wait till it's on its last leg. So let's say you got one in 2009. That could probably last a little bit longer. When I was a kid, we used to go to this all the time because we'd pass by it on our bikes or sometimes we actually went to see it. But they have this national marbles tournament at the Jersey Shore at a place called Wildwood, New Jersey. And you've got a family there, in fact, this 13-year-old winning the girls' title. She wins the title, and check this out, her mother won it, you know, a zillion years ago. So they're the first mother-daughter to win a national championship. Well, you have to figure that the 13-year-old learned from her mother how to shoot marbles, right? By the way, their names, Whitney and Deborah Lapik, so the first mother-daughter tandem ever to do that. A 14-year-old, Ricky Brody from Maryland, took the boys' crown. And here's the cool thing about this. They get a couple grand apiece in scholarship money. It's actually a really huge deal. I mean, people come from all over the place for this marbles deal. Matt, did you play with marbles when you were a kid? Do you remember shooting marbles or having marbles at all or nah?
Not really.
We had marbles, but I don't remember. Like, we had a game where you put the marbles on the top of it and it shimmied down to the bottom, but that's it.
Yeah, I don't remember doing much with marbles. That wasn't a big pastime of mine, I guess.
Nope. Did you play with jacks?
Not really either.
Did you play paddle ball?
What's paddle ball?
Where it has the ball, people listening, you know what I'm talking about, guys.
Oh, with the ball.
The ball with the string.
On it. Mm-hmm. I never got the point of that. That's just something for a kid who has, like, ADD or something like that.
like you. How about, did you ever play skee ball?
Skee ball, yeah, at the, like, arcades and stuff.
Yeah, did you like skee ball?
I remember that, yeah.
Yeah, I like skee ball, too. We used to play that at the arcades all the time. They still have it. They still play skee ball in a bunch of places. I'm sure they have them in Minnesota.
Spend $30 and win a $5 stuffed animal.
That's exactly right. Or some cheap piece of whatever. A bunch of marbles, actually.
There you
go. Here's some marbles. We move to Sydney. The wallabies are getting wacky, they say. Authorities in the Australian state of Tasmania are reporting that wallabies are getting high as a kite by snacking on opium. Ooh, that could be a problem. So what happens is they're getting stoned. They're whacked out. They're hopping around in circles. They're making a mess of the crops. And they're causing problems for the opium industry because it supplies about 50% of the world's raw materials for morphine and other related painkillers. So I would see how that could be a problem, but it'd be weird to see that too, these stoned wallabies jumping around in circles all over the place and scaring people, but also killing the morphine industry. Kalamazoo, Michigan, we have listeners there. The CSI team wasn't needed to crack the case, but the cops in Kalamazoo say a man walked into the Department of Public Safety to report he'd seen another man breaking into a building. They noticed the supposed witness looked drunk and was bleeding from cuts on his arms and hands. They didn't buy the man's concocted story that he was trying to stop a crime and wrestled with a perp. They figured their witness was actually their suspect. And guess what? The man was busted on a charge of breaking and entering. Whoops. Guess that didn't fly. Of course not. Because of the way the cuts were and all that other stuff, it didn't make any sense whatsoever. We moved to Los Angeles, and this is kind of an interesting story. The Los Angeles City Council has declared the See's Candy Shop and Kitchen Number 1 a historic cultural monument. And that would mean that would restrict future construction on the site so that they can preserve the building. Charles C. opened the store back in 1921 with his mother and wife, using his mother's recipes, especially if you've ever had sea candy. It's everywhere, too. Dark chocolate, all kinds of chocolates, whatever. The black and white decor was based on his mom's kitchen. The two-story shop and candy factory was later closed, but See's Candy still operates in more than 200 other stores. It's funny, candy deals, whether they're local or if it's a big-name place, I think it really depends on the area where you grew up. Like, as a kid growing up in New York and then in Philadelphia, the chocolate that my family always talked about was a place called Aunt Charlotte's. And it's still there. And you go in, and it's got the hardwood floors. And it has they have every kind of imaginable chocolate you can possibly dream up. But not just chocolate. All kinds. I mean, it's like an old-fashioned candy store. All kinds of things. Mint bark. Ooh, did you ever have that mint bark stuff? And modern candies, too. You know, what the chewy things, the gummy bears, and whatever. So when you talk about, like, chocolates and chocolate wars, not Hershey's versus Nestle, but a little different quality place, I think it depends on where you grew up as to what someone's going to boast on. Hey, coming up around the bend, we're not talking chocolates. We're talking this day in history. Yeah, there are 185 days left in the year. Wow, I was thinking this the other day. We're talking like, what, 6 months basically. We're going to go through, obviously, birthdays as well. You know, I like to do this prediction thing. If you're listening to me and half the time you don't know who the people are that we say their birthdays, I'm going to predict you know probably at least three of the people on this list today. Three people. A couple of actors, some singers. Yeah, I'm thinking most people are going to know some of them. Hang with us. That's next on ATN.
You've probably heard about the incredible, powerful, and natural antioxidants found in red wine. Unfortunately, not everyone is able to drink a glass of wine each day. Now, you don't have to drink even a single drop, thanks to New Rev. New Rev is America's number one anti-aging supplement. thanks to its active ingredient, resveratrol. Resveratrol is the main nutrient found in red wine and has been proven to help slow down the aging process, help you lose weight, override an unhealthy lifestyle, boost your energy level, and so much more. New Rev has been the subject of some of the most exciting anti-aging research in decades and has only recently become available in purified form. Now, you can discover the amazing health benefits of New Rev for free. Just pay to have New Rev shipped to you. Get your free sample now at NewRevOnline.com. That's NUREVOnline.com. NewRevOnline.com. Improve your life today.
If you owe the IRS, you can't make the problem go away without professional help. But with the help of Dan Pilla, you can get your problem solved.
Hi, I'm Dan Pilla, and I've been solving tax debt problems for 30 years, and I can help you too. We can stabilize IRS collection action and get your tax debt reduced, sometimes completely eliminated. And if you received a 1099 from a bank because of mortgage or other debt forgiveness, the vast majority of the time, I can show you how to completely erase it so you pay no taxes on what the IRS will consider to be taxable income. Call us for a free consultation to discuss the many possibilities. Call 1-800-34-NO-TAX. That's 800-34-N-O-T-A-X. Or go to my website at taxhelponline.com.
Dan Pilla has been protecting taxpayers from the IRS for 3 decades, and he can help you. Call us today, 800-346-6829. That's 800-34-NO-TAX.
How would you like to cook any meal using no electricity or gas and cook your meals off the grid? Well, now you can, thanks to the Survival Oven. The Survival Oven is the most amazing off-grid solar oven that can cook anything that a conventional oven can without the energy bills. By condensing sunlight, the Survival Oven can produce temps up to 350 degrees, cook delicious and nutritious meals, sterilize water, dehydrate food, and so much more. All at zero operating costs. The Survival Oven can be used year-round, even in the coldest sub-zero temperatures, and is a must for emergency preparedness and even everyday use. Visit SurvivalOven.com to get your very own Survival Oven. Order the Survival Oven now, and we'll get you started with 2 cooking pots and a recipe booklet absolutely free. At less than 10 pounds, you can take Survival Solar Oven with you anywhere. Call 877-642-1553 or go to SurvivalOven.com. That's SurvivalOven.com.
On America Tonight, we're going to be talking about Bernie Madoff, and we'll see ultimately, 6 months later, now that he gets sentenced, what does he pay for the crime of bilking people out of so much money, and of course, many of them of their life savings. Will it be the mere 12 years his lawyer thinks is fair, or the 150 that the prosecutors are pushing for, somewhere in between? And will Bernie Madoff actually apologize to his victims? Will he make any kind of a statement or not say anything whatsoever? I'm thinking he's not going to say anything. And then that makes news that he's, once again, he's not contrite. He doesn't feel sorry. He doesn't make a statement, whatever. So there'll be something that will come out of that for sure. It'll just be a question of, will the sentence come somewhere in between, which I think it will. I don't think it'll be 150, but I don't think it's going to be 12. If it was 12, that is huge news, because of all the people that were slammed by Madoff, and there's so many. All right, I mentioned this day in history deal, and here's what I said. There's 185 days left in the year. This weekend is a holiday week. How many of you will be taking off at the tail end of the week for a long weekend? It's weird because 4th of July falls on a Saturday. So most companies are giving employees at least Friday off, because you'll get a day off, and so it'll be Friday probably for most people, and some people are taking days off to go along with that Friday. So here are some of the highlights. In 1776, the Virginia State Constitution was adopted and Patrick Henry was made governor way back when. In 1767, the British Parliament approved the Townshend Acts, which imposed imported duties on certain goods shipped to America. Of course, the people in the colonies protested, which then led to Parliament in 1770 repealing the duties on all the goods except for tea. Yeah, you know where we're going with that one, right? In 1946, we jump way ahead. Authorities in the British-ruled Palestine arrested about 2,700 Jews in an attempt to stamp out extremists. Now look where we are at this point in history, right? Doesn't it seem like we're just going round and round in a circle in that area? 1954, the Atomic Energy Commission voted against reinstating Dr. Oppenheimer's access to classified information. In 1959, the U.S. Supreme Court unanimously struck down a New York State obscenity ban on exhibiting a French movie version of the D.H. Lawrence novel, Lady Chatterley's Lover. Now, of course, we've mentioned this already, the Supreme Court with a couple of big decisions before they skedaddle to the fall. It'll be interesting to see what they do in the fireman discrimination case, and that will be something we'll be talking about on our next America Tonight. In 1966, the United States bombed fuel storage facilities near the North Vietnamese cities of Hanoi, That obviously was huge. In 1970, the United States ended a two-month military offensive into Cambodia. If we move ahead a little bit, a couple of years, in 1972, the Supreme Court ruled the death penalty, as it was being meted out, could constitute cruel and unusual punishment. So, of course, that ruling had rippling effects. It prompted states to revise their capital punishment laws. And it's, you know, it's still something people obviously argue about state to state. In 1988, the Supreme Court upheld the independent counsel law. In 2003, it seemed like she lived to forever, and boy, she did, until she was 96. Actress Katharine Hepburn died in Connecticut, again, at the age of 96. 10 years ago, urging the biggest expansion in Medicare's history, President Clinton proposed that the government help older Americans pay for prescription drugs. Also, some 10,000 demonstrators rallied in central Serbia, demanding the resignation of their president. If we go back 5 years ago, a United Nations helicopter crashed in Sierra Leone, killing all 24 peacekeepers and aid workers and some others that were on board. That was, of course, very sad. The Supreme Court also blocked a law, a lot of Supreme Court stuff. The Supreme Court blocked a law meant to shield web surfing kids from online pornography. And this is huge. Randy Johnson of the Diamondbacks became the fourth pitcher to record 4,000 career strikeouts. It was weird. It was a big night for him, but his team lost to the Padres 3-2. 1 year ago, Zimbabwe's longtime ruler, Robert Mugabe, was sworn in as president for a sixth term after a widely discredited runoff. He was the only candidate. Now we see where that's at in Zimbabwe. It's a mess, obviously. Also, this happened just 2 weeks away from her 20th birthday. Envy Park became the youngest winner of the U.S. Women's Open by closing with a 2-under-71 in Interlaken. If you remember, in Minnesota, it was a big, 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 big story. Spain won the European Championship 1-0 over Germany for its first major title in 44 years. We were talking earlier about the United States in a soccer competition where, boy, it was looked so exciting, like they were going to knock off Brazil. But then, of course, Brazil ultimately came through. And with those goals at the end, and especially coming right into the second half with a goal, just killed the United States. You just knew that's the direction it was going in. So it finishes 3-2. Otherwise, man, we would have been talking about that a lot. And that would have been a lot of the headlines that you would have seen in the papers as well, because that would have been terrific for the United States to have that more than feather in their cap heading into then World Cup action. But who knows? Maybe it spurs them on and in some way encourages them perhaps not to have that horrible feeling that they felt after having that victory snatched away from them. But you can't take it away from Brazil. As man, they're some of the most talented soccer players around, and that's putting it mildly, to say the least. I got a couple of emails here from you, and we'll talk about this on our next couple of shows, about a lot of different things, including Billy Mays and how strange it is that the television pitchman, who was so known for hawking products all over the place, like OxyClean especially and Orange Glow, he was kind of, in a way, I guess you could call him a pop culture icon. He's just 50 years old, and his wife found him dead on Sunday morning, and so a fire crew was called to the house, and they pronounced him dead, but there was a strange thing of him hitting his head on the plane that he was on that got a flat tire as it was landing in Tampa, and we're wondering if that had anything to do with it, the force of the head trauma. Who knows? All right, on to birthdays. So we have some that you'll recognize. I truly believe it, honestly, or I wouldn't say that.
People, we need birthday singers!
All right, I know you know who this is. Actor Gary Busey. He is 65 years old. Think hard and think of some of the movies you might have seen him in. And plus, he was famous for almost killing himself because he didn't wear a helmet in a motorcycle accident and then pushing for motorcycle helmet laws. Also, he's been on Entourage. He's had a couple of cameo appearances on that show. It's very funny. I love it. Comedian Richard Lewis is 62. Larry David's show, Curb Your Enthusiasm. You would have seen him on that. He's been on a ton of other shows. Actress Maria Conchita Alonso is 52. Also celebrating a birthday from NYPD Blue back in the day. Actress Sharon Lawrence is 48 years old. Celebrating a birthday as well, famous movie producer Robert Evans is 79 years old. Also celebrating a birthday on this very day, maybe the same birthday as you, musician Dale Baker is 43. And country musician Todd Sampson from Marshall Dillon is 31. Recognize any of those names? I always get funny notes from you. A lot of you who say, who is that? I think you'll know this, too. Remember Love Boat, the series? Remember a guy named Fred Grandy? Uh-huh. Actor turned politician turned radio personality, 61. Happy birthday if you're celebrating a birthday.